I'd like to call the meeting to order at this time. Ms. Burnham, if you will, please read the roll call.
Okay, I have Colonel Nicholas DeAngelis, Assistant Federal Secretary, Security Director Bradley Whelan, Deputy Chief of MN Gina Burrington, Assemblyman Rodney Dial, all on Teams. Also on Teams, I have Craig Erickson, Ryan Marlowe, Teresa Rose, Tim Demet, Robert Rosadio. Here in the room, I have David Reed, John Rockwell, myself, Nicholas Sandstock, Paul Fussy, Scott Tomo, Tim Woodall, Rachel Kassog.
Oh, he was just asking if we could facilitate or open somebody up here so we serve guys. Is this like
somebody has a mic open?
Saturday or Sunday. Oh, but you can ask. Hello, maybe. What do you stop by?
Master Sergeant Fernandez, just
I was like, maybe if we can get radios, but yeah.
And he has an open mic.
Mr. Chair, this is Paul. That concludes the roll call, sir.
Are there any opening statements and other announcements?
Mr. Chair, this is Paul Fussy. I'd like to make an announcement, please.
Proceed.
Thank you. So, everyone, Ms. Mary Burnham, she will be leaving us at the end of May. So, she's training her replacement, Ms. Rachel Pasak. So, they're here working on the meeting, and Rachel will be taking over for Mary when she leaves at the end of the month. That's the only announcement I have, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Hearing nothing else, we will now move on to the approval of the January meeting minutes. Has everyone had a chance to review the January minutes, and do you have any requested changes at this time? Would any of the other council members please offer a motion by stating your name and a second by stating your name to approve the January meeting minutes?
Brad Whelan, I move to approve the minutes.
Gina Burrington, move to second.
Are there any objections or further discussion? Hearing none, the motion is passed. Moving on to old business items. For the SIGB, this item is still tabled. Mr. Rockwell, do you have any new updates on the SIGB?
Through the chair, I would like to turn my time over to Paul Fussy. He would like to address the nature of the SIGB and some of the possible responsibilities that actually the executive council probably should fulfill. So, Paul. We turn it over to you, sir.
Through the chair, thank you, Mr. Rockwell. So, board members, I've been going through a lot of historical documents and updating things as we go. So, Governor Walker created the SIGB. That's been tabled for quite a while now. But as you look through the historical documents, and I'll send it out to all the board members and everyone in attendance here, through the FCC, the executive council would be basically the go-to individuals for the SIGB. So they would work with the other agencies that are trying to put in the system for VHF. So basically, they would be a de facto SIGB. So that's what I've been reading, I've been looking at, talked to Mr. Woodall about it, I've talked to Mr. Rockwell. But I know this is short notice for the meeting, and I do apologize to board members, but I will get the historical documents out to all the executive council members so they can look at that. So thank you, Mr. Chair, Mr. Rockwell.
Thank you very much, Paul. I appreciate you bringing that to our attention. The SIGB has been something that was a desire. Governor Walker, as he said, was able to create an AO But then that was also deleted right away with the new new governor. So we've been sitting here for quite a while. This has been tabled only because we were hoping to reinvigorate it. But at this point, I don't see anything until we get a new administration and possibly, depending on who it is, what it's going to. So I think it's appropriate to start talking about the role of the executive council as the default SIGB. And again, for those that might not know, the statewide interoperability governing body is what SIGB stands for. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next item is the long-term cost share solution. Mr. Rockwell, do you have any updates on this?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, this has been one of those items that we have been reaching towards as far as how do we continue to pay for, I'm going to use that word, pay for the system, right? We have cost share agreements with infrastructure owners that pay for part of the service that they enjoy, right? But overall, it's been very difficult through state budgets to continue paying for all of the support, that is the manpower, the equipment, the infrastructure cost itself. You know, we look at our towers as an example where we have quite a few towers that are aging that need to have some plan of replacement. We have no budget for that. We have no systematic way that we can move forward with scheduling those towers to be replaced, similar to all the other infrastructure, the generators, the batteries, the shelters, the, you know, those kind of things. We've gotten in the past capital items for that, and we've been fairly successful, but the way that the state budget is shrinking, it's been more and more difficult. So a few years ago, I started looking into other sources, you know, for example, and I'm sure I mentioned this, you know, can we take, you know, a fishing and hunting permit? Can we take $10 off of everybody that, that gets, or take $10 off the top of, you know, a fishing hunter permit or a driver's license or what have you? There's, you know, the, you know, we look at the biggest use of the radio system and it's for public safety entities. So, you know, traffic citations or what have you. Can we have, you know, a surcharge on top of that? As I floated this up through command, nothing has, I'm going to use the word stick, you know, to the wall. It's like nothing has been given me the green light to pursue. So that's why it's been something that is important to have on here, but it's been tabled. When I was talking to Mr. Woodall this morning, he said, you know, it is kind of confusing as far as the terminology that I'm using as far as long-term costs sharing when we do have infrastructure owners that already share the burden of quite a few costs. And so I want to make sure that I'm not asking for infrastructure owners to put more, you know, cost on the table. I just would like to be able to have some method to be able to look at the overall cost of the system moving forward. We still don't have anything at this point, but it's something that I would like to just keep on the agenda, even if I say no update, sir, in the future. But we all need to look at the cost of the system moving forward and how we're going to continue funding the 135 different agencies that we have on it, the over 32,000 devices that we have that we're supporting, and then moving on to even other technology, you know, the push to talk over the cell phone, the Wi-Fi, the, you know, all that. So thank you, Chair, for letting me ramble a little bit on this one here. So I just wanted to clarify, but no major updates.
Thank you. Moving on, Mr. Woodall, are there any updates on the intergovernmental support agreement?
Yes, there is. The Army and the state of Alaska have completed the intergovernmental support agreement. between those two agencies that is signed and completed. The Air Force is currently staffing for signature, which has already been signed by the state of Alaska, their intergovernmental support agreement with the state of Alaska. So we expect those signatures, two signatures are required on the Air Force side to be completed here within the next couple of weeks. So at that point, the intergovernmental support agreement item that we have listed as old business would be able to come off of the old business. Let me add that part of the intergovernmental support agreement will drive some other agreements that will go along, memorandums of understandings and memorandums of agreement that will deal with how payment is made and other relationships that fall out of the IGSA that have to be worked. But that'll be worked between the state of Alaska and the DOW. But I see this item at the next executive council being closed, and it will be happy to do that. So that's all I have, sir.
Thank you. Next is radio inventory. Mr. Fussy, do you have any updates on this?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, I do. Nick and his team and myself have been pretty busy the last couple of months activating TDMA for talk groups. The Fort Wainwright Motor Pool, they are now on TDMA. So Andy, who works for Nick, worked with them and activated that. We've been monitoring that. That went smooth. We worked with Soldotna Dispatch, MADCOM Dispatch, State Parks, National Forest, a lot of different agencies, up to including the troopers for the Kenai Peninsula and the Mat-Su Borough. We activated and turned on TDMA for their talk groups. There was some hiccup in the programming. So thanks to Scott and his team, very proactive, went down, did a lot of programming for those radios in the Kenai Peninsula and the borough. So those are now, the talk groups are turned on for TDMA, been working really well. But a lot of work that's going on in the background that the end users are not seeing. We're still working on it, Mr. Chair, and we're still pushing forward with TDMA and activating talk groups. Thank you.
Thank you. Next is the Rabinowitz Courthouse BDA. Mr. Walkwell, do you have any updates on this?
Mr. Chair, I would like to ask Mr. Stormo if there's any updates on the actual work and or completion date for Rabinowitz. While he takes a moment to brief us on that, I would like to say that the Palmer Courthouse has also been approved. Purchase request has been issued, and we have a vendor that would be starting that. So the BDA for both Rabinowitz and Palmer is moving forward. Scott, do you have any details as far as when we're looking at the completion for Fairbanks at this time?
I have not heard of completion, but the Rabinowitz I heard was the equipment is in, and they were going to be starting in May on it. So.
Okay. So they'll be starting in May, and it'll take a few months to complete that side.
Should be done faster than that.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Scott. That's all I have, Mr. Chair.
Next is the Motorola Operations Services Contract. Mr. Stormo, do you have any updates on this?
We've got the two different vendors are going to be presenting to the state and DOW interested parties this week, just kind of describing their proposal and an opportunity for, you know, to expand it to a broader audience to see what types of questions or comments they might have that we can try to get answered to. So nothing more official, I think, to report at this time, but no major concerns, I think, as to where we are at the moment, other than has been stated previously that this is going to cost a lot more and not everybody has gotten the funding for that. no new concerns to state at this point.
Mr. Woodall, through the chair. Mr. Stormo, can you mention the discussions on extension of the current contract?
So we've had a conversation briefly with the current provider about providing an option for extension. They initially brought it up for a six-month extension. I've asked them about potential for a one-year extension, and they're going to go back and talk to their organization to see if they could support a one-year extension. In part, the idea behind that is we would still proceed with getting this contract finalized, awarded. It would be starting at a point in the future, 6 or 12 months out in the future, to provide the bill payers more time to, you know, have this as a definitive cost and then come up with those funds for that. At this time, don't know if we would do an extension, and we do not know for a fact if the extension would be any different pricing than we currently have. So.
And Mr. Chair, this is Mr. Rockwell. I also would like to add that Scott has been given a task to look at in great detail all services that the vendor provides and justify each service to make sure that it is something that is a mandatory need versus really, really, really nice to have. And so as we move forward, yes, the anticipation of a higher cost due to the fact that we are at the end of a 10-year contract that had no escalation clause built into it. We anticipate that the contract could be significantly higher for like-to-like services. I just wanted to let everybody know that this is not something that we're just rubber stamping, taking lightly, moving forward, but it's something that we're really doing a deep dive on all services that are required. And so again, I want to thank Scott in this forum of the due diligence that he's performing on this, as well as Mr. Woodall. Thank you, gentlemen. That's all, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Does anyone have any questions or comments on any of the old business items? Having completed the old business, Mr. Rockwell, would you please update us on the User Council?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The User Council has been meeting on a monthly basis. At this point, as far as the number of User Council members, were just minus one, which is the alternate for Southeast. We have been talking a lot about the move to TDMA and the radio requirements for that move. ALMR has done an exceptional job over the past, well, many, many years, but I can just highlight a couple, tasks that they've been working on over the past year, which includes the upgrade and completion of the radio infrastructure, which is a $24 million life cycle refresh. They've been working on upgrading the generated power systems. They've replaced, I believe, the last non-powered unit that was on battery and generator only. They have been able to establish over-the-air programming for the newer technology of radios, as well as Smart Connect. They've replaced infrastructure on any ridge. They've been working on removing and replacing shelters that are needed. And so they've just been doing an extremely great job. And this has been a difficult weather year, if I could say it lightly. They've been doing all this infrastructure work through all these weather events to repair the critical infrastructure to restore that essential public safety services. So thank you, Chair. That's my report.
Thank you, Mr. Rockwell. Are there any questions for John at this point? Mr. Fussy, would you please provide the Operations Management Office update?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning, board members. For training and outreach, we'll start out with there. So Mr. Nelson has created a new training video on APEX Smart Connect, and he also created one for the new users, introducing them to the channel and website. So what I would like to do at this time, well, all of our videos have been on our website, but what we've done is when we go look at our ALMR training section on our website, here are the videos that you can see on the ALMR, but we put them onto the YouTube channel. Now, I understand the DOW individuals are not able to access this on their computers, but we're trying to get our videos out to more members and more of a greater agency. So you can either watch it on our channel, or you can just click on here. And that'll take you right to the YouTube channel. Obviously, it's not working now.
Different monitor.
It worked when I was testing it. But all of our videos now are on YouTube. And so we can see how many more views and stuff like that we've had on there. But a lot of work went into that one. But we're getting more and more videos out there. What we're seeing, too, with our website, some of the folks, we're having difficulty finding where the policies and procedures are, where the approved radio systems are. So the news video walks you through our website and if there's any questions. Mary has completed sending out the reminder emails to all member agencies to confirm their point of contact information is still correct. A lot of the agencies in the past year, their point of contact have moved on or changed. So she's been diligently updating all that. So when we start sending out our membership agreements, we're sending them out to the right people and making sure that we get them back in a timely manner. She has also completed the second draft of the cost share and airtime calculations. So that's a lot of time, and thanks to Nick and his team for getting that information over to her so she can start calculating all that. For April 22nd, Mary did participate in Department of Health statewide communications exercise. So what that did, Department of Health wanted a lot of the agencies out in the Western Villages, South Central, and Southeast to work on, if there's a disaster, how do we communicate with each other? I unfortunately was at another aspect, so I couldn't participate, so Mary sat in for ALMR. And they worked on ham radio, sat phones, ALMR, and other types of emergency communications. So that was a really good exercise for statewide for us and also Department of Health. March 29th to April 23rd was a statewide emergency management conference. I attended that. I met with several of our members who were there and discussed with them any issues in their TDMA radio upgrades. So it was a really good networking operation and also sitting in through the emergency management programs there. So Mr. Woody from Scott's team and I were invited and asked to do an ALMR training session on TDMA and location of push to talk. That was set up by several agencies over at UAA. So we gave a presentation on there, really good Q&A, but a lot of questions on TDMA and location push to talk, how that works and which radios and which models are affected by that. So that was over there a couple weeks ago at UAA. I have been sitting through the daily emergency operation Riverwatch meetings to make sure there's no potential flooding near any of the ALMR towers. This year, they're predicting a very bad, if you will, breakup. Due to the thickness of the ice and the extreme cold we've had over the years, they're predicting a lot of flooding, possibly in the YK Delta area, the Fairbanks area, and the Glen Allen area. So I've been monitoring that, watching that, but predicting catastrophic breakout, which means we're going to have a lot of ice dams and a lot of ice jams compared to just a regular meltout. So I'll keep the board and the user council updated on that if there's any issues with our towers on that one. I did conduct all the monthly off-site backup inspections, and the reports were filed. No discrepancies were found. The Interface 2026 conference took place on April 22nd, and this tied me up, so I couldn't attend the Department of Health meeting. That took place here in Anchorage. Mr. Reed, our security manager, attended. I also was asked to take part in a panel to discuss ALMR operations during and after natural disasters. We had approximately about 40 to 45 people in there. I sat on a panel with a member from the Association of Village Council Chiefs, the Alaska Railroad and Emergency Operations Center. Really good Q&A and discussing how ALMR works after natural disasters. So I appreciated the fact that I was invited to sit on that panel. Got good feedback afterward on that one. So any questions on any of the training and outreach before I go to the project status updates? Hearing none, Mr. Chair, I'll proceed on this. So, like I talked a little bit earlier, the activation of TDMA for the troopers in the Madison Barrio Kenai Peninsula is completed. Fort Wainwright motor pool has been turned on for TDMA. We've been, next week, the week of May 4th, Motorola and Mr. Reed will be in Juneau to complete their new dispatch console installs. This has been an ongoing monthly project to make sure we meet all the DOW requirements for the project. We had another meeting on Friday with Motorola to finalize things, but hopefully that will all be done by next week, and Juneau will have their new dispatch center all up and running. Those are only two of the main things that I have for the project status update. I'll be going to the April system metrics. March. I apologize. It's April, but we're still working with March, the end of the month. So we're looking here at our monthly group and individual talk calls. We had 1,874,512. For our monthly push-to-talks, almost identical to 2022, we had 2,835,084. Our busies were 308. So very, very small number compared to the push-to-talks and the calls. So thank you to Scott and his team for the microwave back call, and Nick and his team and their PMIs and ALMR towers. So the sites below 39, there was nine of them. So the Alcan Electric, there's a damaged cable they fixed. Pegger Road, ALMR equipment has moved to a new shelter. The Henny Range, they worked on a microwave. Haynes and Skagway were some microwave issues. And then Alcantara, New Connect, and Seward were Nick and his team doing PMIs and then clear to replace the cable and isolator. So, and as we start looking at the subscriber counts by zones, keep in mind zone four, that is the AWARN system. That's why they're under the AML 6,308. That's why they're only showing up there. If we look at subscriber counts per month, as a friendly reminder to the board, we are maxed out at 33,000 licenses. So we've been very proactive with the agencies to let them know that they have subscriber units that they're not using, the old FDMA radios, to turn a subscriber request. So Nick and his team have been working diligently to remove those radios off the system. So just a couple of months ago, we were over 33,000. We're now down to 31,875, getting a little bit more breathing room However, some of the agencies I've talked to here in the past month, they've got some radios sitting in boxes that they're going to work on removing. So that number will drop down more. But just let us know that there's a lot of radios out there that aren't being used, older ones that can be removed from the system and help us out with our licensing. Any questions on any of the metrics from the members? Anything that any member would like me to repeat or go over again? Hearing none, Mr. Chair, I'll move on. So under the other items, like we said at the beginning, we'd like to welcome Ms. Rachel Passag, new document specialist. She's training with Mary. Also, the April newsletter was completed and sent out on April 15th. That went out hard copy to all of our legislatures. Mary put that out on our website, and each and every newsletter can be seen on our website with their. So that's all I have for my report. Pending any questions, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Does anyone have any questions for Paul on any of these items? Moving on to new business. Does anyone have any new business?
Mr. Chair, this is John Rockwell. We had a little brief break. Scott had to leave the office, or leave the room briefly. There was an update that appears that as his tower crew was out at Hawk Lake, which is down by Juneau, and they were tensioning the tower. The tower itself has fallen. I don't have any pictures. This is just like right off the press. Scott was, like I said, pulled out. We just wanted to let the executive council know that this happened. I'm sure we'll be working on a remediation strategy shortly for that. I can't tell you what is the impact of that, Scott. I don't know if you have off the top of your head what would be impacted, because I know we have a lot of towers that actually cover each other to have that contiguous operations.
The microwave ring is definitely broken with that site being down, and there will be significant loss of coverage that site was doing. There may be some overlap from Saddle or Lena Point, but there'll definitely be some lack of coverage. And I'm not with a, at the moment, I don't know if there were any other services happening out of that. Like Juneau may have had a radio in there too. So it sounds like the shelf is fine. Nobody was hurt. The tower crew was plumbing and tensioning the tower, and don't know what happened, but the tower fell. So. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Scott. That's all, sir. Thank you.
Thank you for the update. The next meeting is scheduled for July 16th. Please check your calendars and let Ms. Rachel Passag know if you have any conflicts. Is there anything else anyone would like to offer at this time? At this time, I'll accept a motion and then a second from any of the council members to adjourn the meeting.
This is Rodney Dial.
Go ahead, Rodney.
Yeah, no worries. Move to adjourn.
All right. The meeting is now adjourned. Thank you, everyone.